pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife." And that's speaking to a husband now, a man. "Love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." And that word "nevertheless" means that in spite of everything else, the husband is to love his wife, is to take care of her. In 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 3, and verse 7, it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I believe that many husbands do not have prayers answered because they do not do as the Bible tells them to do concerning their wife. You see, the wife is not to serve the husband, but the husband is to serve her in love. And as a result, he's manifesting in a little measure, in likeness, the love of Christ for the church. You say, how beautiful is the description of the love of Christ for the church? It's a love in the past, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." And what did he do? "And gave himself for it." Jesus Christ gave himself for the church collectively. And this means he gave himself for each person and collectively and separately as well, for those who make up his church. And Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Well, that's in the past tense. He's already done all of this. And you see, there is not only a past tense of the love of Christ for us, but there is a present tense. There is a present love Christ has for his church. That's us who make up the Lord's church, the people who are saved. You see, that present tense love is a working love. It says in Ephesians 5:26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that's the church, with the washing of water by the word. How do we get clean as saved people during this time as his church? We get in the word. The washing of water is just like water washes the old dirty hands. Jesus Christ, through his word, washes the old dirtiness off of us as we walk through this dirty world. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because he loves his church. He loves his people. It's a working love. Not only in the past did he work for us in giving his life, but he's working now. As we get into his word, we get a cleansing. He's doing so much more for us that once we get into the word of God, we start realizing how much Jesus Christ has done, he's doing, and there's so much more that he's doing. But there's a future love as well. It says in Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. See, Christ's love is a love which passeth knowledge. The love which never changeth, according to the word of God. The love which is eternal. And equally blessed is the truth contained in verses 30 through 33 of Ephesians chapter 5. We are members of his body and of his flesh and his bones. It's as though we're just one flesh with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How close is that? I keep remembering back the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they spoke with Christ. They didn't know who he was at the time they were walking with him. They took him home there, the place where they gathered together with other disciples, and they were there eating together. And they suddenly recognized Jesus Christ. He spoke to them, and he disappeared. He left. But these two on the road to Emmaus, as they were walking with him, they made this comment, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he walked by the way with us?" And I pray that your heart burns as you get into the Word of God, and your heart will burn knowing that one day that Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. That's you and I, those who have trusted him as Lord and Savior. We are his members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. Well, it's obvious that we have, Ephesians 5, verse 30 through 33, a reference to Adam and Eve as the types of Christ and the church. You see, while Adam slept, God built the woman out of his side and then presented her to him. He said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." These were Adam's words, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23. You see, woman was taken out of his body and shared the same life and was also Adam's wife. And she shared the life with him. He shared his life with her by giving part of himself. Adam is the figure of him that was to come. According to Romans 5:14, it says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Who is the figure of him that was to come? You see, him that was to come was Jesus Christ. Eve is the type of the church. We possess Christ's life and are of himself. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. See, the church's destiny is to have dominion with him over the new creation as Adam and Eve were supposed to have had in the beginning before sin entered in. Because Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, I've been asked this question before. What if, now these are suppositions that come into the minds of people. They want to know certain things. And I can only tell you what I think. Some would ask, well, if Eve had been the only one to partake of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and Adam did not partake of it, would she have died? Well, the Bible tells us that, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." Had Adam not eaten of that forbidden fruit, we'll call it, then no sin would have come into the world. I do not believe that Eve would have died, because the command of God went directly to the man. He told him not to eat of it, for in the day that he would eat of it, he would surely die. He didn't tell that to the woman. So I do not believe the woman would have died had Adam not eaten of that. In other words, if he did not partake of that forbidden fruit, then I do not believe the woman would have died either. But he did partake of it. "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men," or mankind, we could say, "for that all have sinned." And I remind you, as I've done before, do not blame your sin upon Adam. Don't lay that upon him. Sin is personal. You are your own person. You have to give an account to God for your sin, not the sin of Adam, but for your sin, your personal sin. The sin that is there to keep you from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And if you've asked him to come into your heart, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. You've received the free gift of salvation. But if you haven't asked him to save you, you do not have that free gift. In order to get a gift, you must receive it. You must take it and make it yours. It's yours for the taking if you'll ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. The Bible uses the term repent. Repent means to change your mind Change your mind and quit going your way, but go God's way. You've decided that you can't save yourself. It's all through Jesus Christ. And you ask him for salvation. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I've changed my mind. I can't go my way, so I'm going to go your way because you say you're going to take me there, and I believe you. If you'll pray and ask God to take you to heaven through Jesus Christ, he'll take you there. You won't go right now unless you die right now after you've asked him into your heart. But one day, when the breath of life leaves your body, you'll go to be with the Lord. And the good thing is that you may not have to die physically because Jesus is coming back for his church. And we will become his bride once we're with him in glory. Well, there's so much that we could talk about the Lord, and there's so much that we need to be excited about as saved people as we look into his word. Well, let's get back to our verse once again now. And the verse goes on to say, as we've been looking at in verse 33, we notice that, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Remember, the husband is, he's to be a servant like Christ was. And like Christ is, he serves us the word of God. He's our servant. And the husband is to be the servant of the wife. But notice the verse goes on to say, and the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Well, the word see that we looked at there, according to some commentators, means that it was the personal duty of the wife to show respect for her husband, who is the head of the family, and is set over her in the Lord. Notice Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. We've looked at this before, but let's read it again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Well, the word reverence usually means fear. Well, the wife is to fear, not in the sense of being afraid of her husband, but to honor, to respect, and to obey the will of her husband in the fear and reverence of the Lord. You see, it's not implied in this verse that we've read there that she is not to love her husband, replacing that love with reverence, but she is to balance out God's order of the marriage arrangement by not any usurping of authority. In other words, not to disregard the arrangement which God has made. And that order and peace should be secured in a family by regarding the husband as the head of the family, as set by God. You see, when the wife and husband follow God's principles of marriage, there can only be one result: happy, fulfilled marriage. Well, the happiness and success of any society depends on proper views of the marriage relation. We need to realize that. And it's true the world over that the proper views that succeed in regard to relation of marriage determines everything in reference to all other relations of life and to all other sources of enjoyment. You may never have thought of that before, but the marriage arrangement is a representation of how this world is actually to be operated. There's a set order that God has set down for this world, and it's sad that this world lies in the hands of the wicked one. And people are people. They're human. They're sinful. And until we listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not going to be peace on this earth. And once again, man does not listen. Some will get saved and some do get saved. But one day there will be total peace because Jesus Christ will come back and set up his millennial reign. And then after that, eternity. No sin whatsoever. May the Lord bless you. And I pray that you'll get saved and you'll ask Jesus to come into your heart. And one day I'll see you in heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.